Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. And by Bisquick Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real bread. What's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown? Out there on the edge of the prairie. We've had blue skies out there. The deer have been brave as can be, walking right into the backyards, getting apples off the trees. It's been chilly. We're expecting frost here this next weekend. And yet it was with some shock that you looked around at the houses in Lake Wobegon and you saw smoke coming up out of the chimneys and people turning their furnaces on in early October. This is way too early. People, you ask them about it, and they say, well, they're testing their furnace. But these tests have been going on now for weeks. Minnesota, people, is looked to as a moral example by the rest of the country. We're supposed to be hardy people. They imagine us up here with our lips chapped and our blanched white skin and the pock marks from hailstones in our faces, and they expect us to set an example of fortitude in the face of hard times, which we are going to have in this country. You know it, and I know it. Whoever is elected president this fall is going to spend the next 4 years just cleaning up. And we're going to go through some hard times. There are a lot of people who own houses that are not worth nearly what you paid and still owe for them. And so corners need to be cut and belts need to be tightened. And Minnesotans are expected to lead the way in this. Turn off your furnace. It's too early to have your furnace on. If you're cold, put on a sweater. If you're cold, put on a sweater. That's the news from Lake Wobegon. It's beautiful weather for apples. The apples are coming in, a bumper crop of apples. The Hoagland boys made a catapult up on the hill up behind the high school to hurl green apples into the air and bring down ducks. They're going to hunt ducks with this catapult, which they made from the springs of a couple of old Chevys. And boy, they've hurled a bushel of apples of like a quarter of a mile, and they're still working on it, which makes people nervous. Also makes the ducks nervous. And the ducks have been putting off their migration for a while. Ducks do like to wait until it's colder and until it's rainier. They think it protects them from duck hunters. They do not know duck hunters very well, ducks, obviously. You can smell apple pie coming from the Chatterbox Cafe. Dorothy's been making her patented apple pie from fresh Granny Smith apples, but she's been making different kinds of apple pie this year in which she uses less cinnamon, less sugar, less allspice, and she uses more lemon. And she made a pie this last week in which she put cheese right in the pie, and it melted, and it was a white cheese with jalapeno peppers in it. So it was an apple pie that when you took a bite of it, it bit you back. And she was giving it out to people in the Chatterbox the other day, and Myrtle and Florian were there, and Clint and Irene, and Clarence and Arlene, and the Krebs Box, and Mr. Berge, and she had cut this into little slivers and put them on napkins, and she walked around, and she said, here, have a taste of my pie. Well, how are you going to turn that down? So they took a piece of pie, and they bit into it, and tears came. Tears came to their eyes. Well, how do you like that? She said, I just felt like doing something different. They said, well, you succeeded. It's different. It's okay. They said, where'd you get that recipe? Oh, she said, I just made that up. She said, I just felt like doing something different. And then they looked at Dorothy, and they noticed that she had cut her hair short. They didn't notice because she always has worn a hairnet. And so her hair is kind of like a helmet around her head, but she didn't have a hairnet this week. And her hair was cut very, very short. It was kind of startling, as if you went to New York and the Statue of Liberty had her hands by her side and she was looking at you and winking at you and smiling. And then they looked at Dorothy and she had streaked it with blonde. She used to be streaked with gray and now she was streaked with blonde. She said, "I've been thinking about applying for a liquor license." "Oh, well, that'd be different," they said. "Yeah," she said, "then I'd be able to stay open in the evening and I could serve wine with dinner. I'd just been thinking about doing that." And then they noticed on that back counter where the mixers used to be, where you made the malted milks and the shakes, and those big old mixers were there, and those tin canisters, they were gone. And there was a little speaker, and it was playing music. And there were candles there. They'd never seen candles in the Chatterbox Cafe before. "Yeah," she said, I'm interested in wine. I was in Sonoma a week ago." Sonoma? They never heard about this. This is a small town. You think you know where everybody is at all times. Sonoma, really? "Yeah," she said, I was out there for a week with a friend." "Oh," they said, "someone from around here?" "No," she said. "Oh, well, that must have been fun." "Yes, it was," she said. "Astonishing. Dorothy, going out to Sonoma and getting interested in wine. It was like you go to your mother's house and the dining room table is gone, and there's a billiard table there instead. And your mother is wearing a bright green pantsuit and tinted glasses, and she's making a shot at the billiard table. Your mom, who used to make the pot roast and the potato, the scallop potatoes au gratin, and the apple pie, and she's making a shot with the cue stick behind her back. And there's a lucky strike that's hanging off her lower lip. And she says, yeah, ever since Ramon moved in with me, I kind of came to like Chinese takeout." And she makes the shot, a perfect two-cushion bank shot. And she hits two balls into two different pockets. And she reaches into her back pocket and she pulls out a silver flask. And she looks at you and she winks and she says, "Potato juice. Ramon." And then he walks in. He's a skinny guy. He's got really skinny jeans and a black t-shirt and dark glasses. And he's on a cell phone talking to somebody about point spreads. This is Ramon. It's astonishing. You never thought she'd do it. You never thought this would happen. This happens to people at a certain point in life. It comes late in life. It comes, if you want to know the truth, it comes on the day that you get an envelope in the mail and you open it and it's your AARP card. And you shrink back from it. It's like getting an envelope full of anthrax powder. You throw it down on the floor, you stomp on it, you pour Lysol on it, you beat it with a ball-peen hammer. You cut it into little tiny pieces. You throw away the brochure with all those horrible articles about how the best is yet to be and elder hostel and pre-planning your memorial service and all of that. You throw all of that away and you call up your children and you tell them that their children are never to address you as Gampy ever again. Ever again. You're going to be Uncle Jim, otherwise no birthday presents whatsoever. The word grandpa and grandma will never, ever be mentioned in this house ever again. No, I know people who get their AARP cards, people my age, and they get together in parking lots, hundreds of them, and they burn their AARP cards. And they sing We Shall Overcome, and they sing Forever Young, and they sing All We Are Asking Is Please Let Us Dance, and they go out and they get haircuts. They get their haircuts short and they get their eyebrows trimmed, and they buy skinny jeans, and they buy a big t-shirt that says Whatever across it. This happens. Well, Clarence and Arlene were walking around town the other day, and they heard piano music coming from Dorothy's house. They'd never heard this before. They didn't know that she had a piano, and it was not hymns or anything you would expect Dorothy to play. And they stood out there in the twilight and listened to her playing music. Well, they knew that she had majored in music. She went to Concordia. This is years and years and years and years ago. And they'd heard a little bit about this. She got a job playing organ at a church, a Lutheran church out in western Minnesota called St. Herman's. It was a German Lutheran. And it was a beautiful church. It was an old wooden Norwegian church. It was over 100 years old back then, and that was a long time ago. And it was perfectly kept up, and the cemetery was absolutely beautiful. And the congregation made up entirely of elderly Norwegian farmers and their wives. And she sat and she played the organ for their services week after week after week, trying to put a little bit of life into this grim church. It was like a penal colony out there. Norwegians just waiting to die to go off to something better, they assumed. And in the meantime, they were just the hardest people. Playing music for those people and trying to get them to sing with a little life was, she felt like she was in a rowboat that was being thrown up against rocks. And eventually she just walked away. She just left. It was just too much to put up with these horrible, dreadful, dark, miserable, bitter, depressed people. They had gone through 13 pastors in 15 years until they finally got one who was stone deaf, and that worked just fine. No, she went away and she never put her hands on a keyboard again after she left that church. Those people were so rough on her. Same way that, you know, if you'd almost been hung, you might stay away from rope. She stayed away from keyboards, and she took up a career cooking, and that's what she did until just a few weeks ago. The bishop of western Minnesota, after the last parishioner at St. Herman's had died, looked at the endowment, an enormous endowment, under the terms of which it was to be used entirely for the upkeep, the perpetual upkeep of the church and the cemetery. He got his lawyers to work on it, and they found a loophole in it. And he took that money, and he put it into a general fund, and he looked at the list of all the people who'd been pastors and organists over the years at St. Herman's, and he sent out checks to them. And about the same time, the church building was attacked by voracious ants, and the steeple fell down. And now it lies there in ruins, as it should, as it should. She got a check. She got a big check. It was enough to buy a piano. She bought one. She put it in her living room. And she went back to playing music. This happens. This happens. Never give up. Never give up. Never surrender. Never quit. You have no right to quit. They hear her now outside. They hear her playing at the piano, and ever so often they hear her singing a song you would never, ever expect to hear. Dorothy of the Chatterbox, the woman of the Jell-O, the woman of the banana cream pie, the woman of the chili and the grilled cheese sandwich. You would never, ever expect to hear her ever sing or play, ever. The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Bisquick, Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real good.